Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Gary Allen, who's Vice President of Supply Chain Excellence at Ryder, and Jeff Matursky, who is Vice President of Customer Success Strategy at LLamasoft. And today we're going to talk about from project to continuous business process, the evolution of supply chain design. Now, one of my predictions for 2015 was that more and more companies were going to kind of evolve or move away from treating supply chain design as kind of an ad hoc, once a year, once every 2 year type of project, and really make it a ongoing continuous business process. And I'm happy to have Gary on the program from Ryder, who obviously Ryder is one of the companies that have really taken the lead in really embedding supply chain design as part of their business process. And happy to have Jeff here as well from LLamasoft, who provides, you know, leading tools in this area to provide perspectives in terms of what they're seeing from other customers in the industry. Just want to remind you, for those of you that are joining us live today, that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question or a comment for Gary or Alan as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And you know, if it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll certainly weave it into the conversation. I do want to remind you that if you are joining us as a visitor, you do have to sign up first before you can ask a question. So with that, Gary, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Adrian. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, you know, Gary, you know, before we kind of dive into the topic, I think it'll be helpful to, you know, for folks to get a little bit of background understanding about your role and responsibilities there at Ryder. So why don't we start there?
Yeah, sure, Adrian. Thank you. And yeah, so my role at Ryder, I'm Vice President of Supply Chain Excellence. And effectively, my team and role within the organization is to design and deliver value to our customers through supply chain solutions. And we do that really in three different areas. One is around the discipline of supply chain design that we'll talk through today. And that involves design engineers that help win the business, consult with customers, and then also drive continuous improvement in an ongoing environment. Also, my team has responsibilities to ensure successful startups, launches, and then ongoing quality control as well. So again, thanks for letting us participate today.
No, thank you. Thank you for making the time. And so let's start with kind of Ryder's approach to supply chain design. I mean, is your approach different today than in the past? And what factors are driving those changes?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, first off, within Ryder, we value the discipline around supply chain design. You know, so first off, we recognize the importance, because being in the third-party logistics industry, it's all about delivering value to our customers every day. And supply chain design is a crucial element in driving that. But what I'd say, you know, first off, within Ryder, we do treat supply chain design as a discipline, right? And so within our organizations, we have different roles. We have roles that people focus on more the technical side of modeling, a designer role through planning, and then operations. So we take it from not only design in the context of kind of consulting and solutioning, it's also an operational service for us in different parts of our business, like lead logistics provider and other kind of high value optimization services. But what I'd say, you know, what's been changing really over the last decade and especially over the last few years is that the complexity of the problems are increasing, right? The frequency of customers' networks are changing, mergers and acquisitions, port strikes, disruptions. And so really the factors that are kind of driving the need for greater focus on design is really embedded in our customers' supply chain. And so the frequency of activities around how you look at a customer's network, how often do you look at transportation? These things used to be, you know, especially around network design, it used to be a more infrequent activity where you'd look at it monthly, quarterly. But what's happening for us and our customers is that we're looking at these things daily. And especially in the transportation environment, we're looking at flow pathing around inventory. We're looking at how much product is stored where in a facility, manufacturing, distribution center. So all of those factors are really driving us to look at supply chain design and how we optimize in a much more frequent and dynamic nature today.
Yeah, great, a great overview there. And Jeff, I mean, you get to work with not only with Ryder, but you work with a lot of different, you know, companies across a variety of industries. Is Ryder's experience and kind of approach similar to what you're seeing and hearing from other customers? And I mean, how would you characterize the current state, you know, from your broader perspective, the current state of supply chain design?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's, I mean, Ryder is a microcosm of what we're just seeing across a variety of different industries and customers. The notion of this kind of separate, you know, backroom analytics that takes place occasionally, you know, once every, you know, year or so, even from strategic network design, is going away. So companies like Ryder's and others that are not just the transportation, you know, or 3PLs or logistics providers, but manufacturers, distributors, retailers, everybody is trying to move towards this ongoing competency and setting up centers of excellence. And they've broadened the look of what is supply chain design. We've actually, I mean, I feel encouraged that I've been doing this now for almost 26 years, literally supply chain design. And we've moved from this project-oriented world infrastructure planning to a variety of policy decisions. And there's actually a separate design discipline that's being created in companies. And so supply chain for a long time has been execution, and it's been planning, and design was kind of somewhere in there. And it usually was a high-level strategic thing. And now there's actually a formal discipline that organizations are creating. Companies like Lamasoft are creating. Academic universities are going there. And so we've actually started to become really mainstream as a separate theme of what needs to be success in supply chain. And it's pervasive. It cuts across every geography that we deal with around the world and almost every single industry. So it's really encouraging and exciting.
No, that's great. I'm seeing the same thing, which is why I kind of made that, you know, one of my predictions for 2015, because as I was having more and more conversations with companies across different industries, you know, whether they were 3PLs or shippers, manufacturers, retailers, so on and so forth, that was something that I was seeing leading companies, you know, moving toward. Now, Jeff, a quick follow-up question here, because I get this question all the time, and maybe you can help clarify, is a lot of times I get the question, well, I mean, what do you mean by supply chain design? Do you mean, isn't it like supply chain network optimization? Isn't that what, you know, and you know, I have my answer, which is really supply chain design is really broader, right, than network optimization. But how do you define, how, you know, how should people be thinking about supply chain design?
Well, that's a great question. And a lot of times it is still thought of as that network optimization. What we would typically refer to as infrastructure planning, right? So how many locations, where should they be, how big should they be, whether that be manufacturing or distribution, or even back up to your, you know, strategic sourcing questions. For us, what we've seen over time, and I've seen over time, is that those are the types of things that do happen occasionally, and you still do need to have awareness of changing that physical infrastructure. But the biggest value is really on optimizing that current network that you have, right? So it's that understanding the policies, as Gary was alluding to, of what is the best way to flow product through a network at any given point in time. As I actually have changes in kind of fundamental cost drivers, right, whether that be fuel changes or labor changes, how do I actually alter the way in which I deploy my products throughout the network? That's a design decision, right, that then influences planning functions and execution functions to go against that. So we cover kind of the whole spectrum from infrastructure planning to product flow analysis to even policy decisions that interact with transportation of how frequently should companies be replenishing inventory to their distribution centers. I mean, answering that policy decision is a design question, right? That you don't think about every day when you start executing it. You're saying, I'm going to replenish every week, or I'm going to replenish every other day. That's locked into a planning function and execution. But who makes that policy decision? So we kind of think about those policy parameters that drive operational planning and operational execution that many times are thought about as a rule of thumb, right? Really fall in the spectrum of design. Right, and that's kind of our perspective at Lamasoft, and what a lot of our customers are actually doing with the technology.
Yeah, no, I think that aligns as well with kind of what the way I see other companies kind of thinking about supply chain design. Those are that I consider to be kind of ahead of the curve on this. So kind of along the same lines, Gary, going back to you now, and kind of let's put the spotlight on transportation now, and kind of do a little bit deep dive there in terms of putting transportation in the context of supply chain design. I mean, obviously, companies face a lot of challenges today with transportation, and a lot of constraints, you know, and trying to balance, you know, costs and service and the risks, you know, across multiple modes. You know, can you share with us some examples or use cases of how Ryder applies supply chain design tools and methodologies and resources, you know, from a transportation management perspective?
Yeah, most definitely, Adrian. And as you know, I mean, transportation is really core to what Ryder does. And we have plenty of examples. And I think in each of these examples, they highlight how the industry is changing. So in our supply chain business, which is one of our three main business segments, we do a lot of automotive work. So a couple of our big OEM customers that we've been partners with for many years, in fact, decades, we're finding that the need for more frequent route analysis, route redesign, is shifting more towards where an automotive used to be a weekly thing that we look at this week for next week, and you kind of plan as a, you know, 5-day horizon or weekly horizon. What's happening now in that industry and for what our role is with that customer is we're shifting much more towards a dynamic daily route optimization. We're looking at cube utilization. We're looking at how that cascades into materials releasing and parts releasing. And in fact, we actually do materials releasing as part of our service for some of those customers. But we used to look at it in more of a 5 to 7 day view, and now we're getting into a daily activity for several OEMs. And so that's in the supply chain business. Another part of our business is our fleet management side, where we get into leasing and maintenance. But we also buy and sell a lot of truck parts and automotive parts, and not too many people actually know that, but we are in the parts business and aftermarket business. And what's happening in that segment, working between our supply chain and our fleet group, is we have a lot of advanced tools. In fact, we use LlamaSoft as one of those design tools today, where we are actually looking into the planning for and the procurement of parts, and also balancing the need for how do we balance returns and late orders and sales that kind of pop in within a day. And so we are actually doing route redesign that accommodates late sales orders, and then in combination, returns coming back from our shop locations. So that's an example of how we blend kind of an aftermarket inventory type of problem with the transportation solution. And then in our dedicated business, you know, we do it every day. I mean, in our dedicated contract carriage business, you know, we have hundreds of customers that all require a look at how optimized and how effective are we managing that transportation and that route. Many of our customers, whether it's CPG or retailers, you know, require more frequent daily shipments that used to be, you know, historically, you know, a heck of a lot more lead time. And in that business, not only are we doing daily route redesign, we've come up with our own tools to kind of bolt on to tools like LlamaSoft that actually balances the fleet as compared to common carrier. And so we'll look at hours of service that our drivers have. We'll look at available capacity within that truck. And then we'll look at those constraints and then optimize that with the cost benefit between moving it to common carrier versus fleet. Whereas historically, those have been isolated decisions. If you have a fleet, you try to fill it up, and you know basically it's a free ride, and if there's available capacity, you throw it on there instead of moving on common carrier. And we've kind of changed that model to balance that a little bit more scientifically, but more importantly, to optimize our customer supply chain so we drive value and savings to them on a daily basis. You know, in the last use cases, we have a variety of customers that we consult with. So we do use LlamaSoft as our primary tool to do broad supply chain design and consulting. The type of consulting we do, since we're an operator who consults versus a consultant who doesn't necessarily operate, you know, we look at our current customer base and we try to help them improve their supply chain, even outside of our role within the logistics arena, whether it's looking at cost to serve, whether it's looking at inventory optimization. And a lot of our customers have tools like LlamaSoft, but you know, one area that they're trying to figure out, as Jeff mentioned, is how do I design more organization around supply chain design as a discipline and create a center of excellence. So a lot of our current customers, we're trying to work with them around how they structure that, whether you know it directly ties to our service business that we perform to them daily.
Yeah, great examples there in use cases. I mean, I think the common thread that I hear from companies or kind of a common driver, and this is particularly true in transportation, is companies are faced with the challenge of having to make quote unquote smarter decisions faster, right? And just the lead times and the time to make decisions is just becoming much more compressed. You know, certainly you see that in the consumer driven markets because of everything happening so quickly on that front, but really across the board, across all industries, really you're seeing time compression, right? And the ability to, and that's what's driving that is the need to really apply some of these tools and methodologies and bringing in the talent, if you will, to help companies make those smarter decisions faster. You know, on the technology front, Jeff, going back to you, you know, certainly the technology has evolved, supply chain design technology has evolved significantly over the past, few years, you know, especially as we've seen, things like big data and analytics and cloud technology coming to bear. I mean, what have been some of the biggest advances on the technology front?
That's a great question. And I think we're right at that cusp of really making a significant change in the way things have been thought of. You know, this industry or this discipline has always been kind of the desktop, single server, individual kind of cranking on a machine and working in isolation. There's always been a lot of challenges of how do you get the data moving back and forth? How do you start collaborating with other individuals to make things happen? And so some of the things that are starting to move in that direction and LlamaSoft is helping to lead the way is, you know, having a cloud-based computing environment, right? Being able to leverage that when I want to do analytics, I don't have to necessarily just rely on my one kind of license sitting on my machine, that I can have access, you know, through the cloud to hundreds of simultaneous servers that can actually run a variety of different sensitivities and scenarios all at the same time, right? And then have mobility to allow me to, again, not just be tied to my desktop to kind of do these analytics as a single individual, but have a collaborative environment through a browser-based access. So no matter where I am, right, whether it's accessing it from the phone, I'm sitting at the airport, I can actually see results. I can collaborate with other individuals, you know, whether they be in my organization or extended supply chain. I could be working with Ryder as my partner to evaluate the results of some scenario that's going on and kind of take some immediate action. And I think the last area is, as Gary had alluded to, and you as well, Adrian, the complexity of these supply chains that we're modeling are just growing, right? The size of them, the global nature of them, the number of and desire to be modeling things at SKU levels and individual shipment levels. You know, this space and what people used to think about years and years ago is I want to aggregate everything because the computing horsepower wasn't there and or I was thinking strategically. Right. So if I'm thinking about doing something 1, 3, 5 years from now, I don't need to see every individual customer and I don't need to see every individual SKU. But as companies are taking advantage of leveraging supply chain design for actually optimizing flow on an ongoing basis, I've got to see the customers and I've got to see the individual shipments and I've got to see the SKU. And computing horsepower has come such a long way, right, from where this has been over the last 20 plus years that we can now actually optimize down at that lowest level of detail. Right. When we start constraining that the network decisions are kind of fixed, I'm not opening and closing things any longer. And now I'm trying to figure out how to optimally flow and when to make and where to stock. That computing horsepower and access to the cloud allows companies to leverage that infrastructure and do more rapid analytics and do them on a greater scale. And that's what we've seen as a significant change that we hope we're one of the ones that are leading the way and making that happen here. And that's relatively new to kind of move this out of that environment of big servers. I mean, when I started this, I was doing these analytics on a mainframe, right? I mean, that's what you had to have access to. And then it moved all the way to being down in the desktop. And now we're trying to swing it, I think, back up to the other side of it's a hybrid of being able to do it at the desktop, but taking advantage of cloud-based, you know, infrastructure and computing horsepower. And those are some of the changes that I've seen kind of over the course of my career.
Yeah, just to add to that, Adrian, from our perspective, we'd agree with Jeff. When I first trained on design tools, exactly what Jeff said, it was clunky, they were slow, they were difficult to use. It was tough to kind of baseline data. So really what's changing for us, and it kind of fits with our customers' needs around looking at their supply chain more frequently, is the speed of the technology, and the optimization engines are far faster. The architecture that Jeff mentioned, and especially around LLamasoft, because LLamasoft, you really can leverage a common data set, right? And one of the issues that we've historically had was we have different design tools to solve different problems. And with LLamasoft, we've been able to bring it all into one and solve multiple problems, whether it's inventory, whether it's transportation, whether it's network. And it allows you to leverage that common data set, but then you can create models that are repeatable. And those models would sit on top of that common data architecture. So for us, it's been a huge benefit, not only for, design to drive continuous improvement, but also to enable that as part of our ongoing service. So that's been a huge change for us.
Yeah, no, that's great. As both of you were kind of sharing your perspectives on this, it struck me. I started out the conversation by saying how this used to be kind of a company's approach to this as kind of a project basis, relatively infrequent type of exercise, and kind of how it's moving more towards a continuous business process, if you will. Well, the changes that you described, Jeff, and Gary, really are foundational to be able to allow supply chain design to become a continuous business process, right? Because if it was still something that was desktop driven, where you had someone with a PhD that needed a PhD, stuck in some corner, and it was a supply chain center of excellence of one,
Right.
You really couldn't drive this into a continue, you couldn't really truly make this a continuous business process. But thanks to the innovations going on the technology front, whether it's mobile, cloud, the ability to make usability, improving the usability, and really make this something that can be utilized by many people across the organization that have the capabilities and the training to do this. I think that's certainly a key enabler, around this. And around that point, Jeff, and I think Gary touched upon this a little bit. I mean, what are are you seeing companies building supply chain design capabilities in-house, or are they going more toward third-party logistics partners, like someone like a Ryder to support? And kind of what factors are driving their decision whether to do this in-house versus work with a partner?
Yeah, sure. Based on my consulting background, I would have to say it depends, right? There's no one magic answer across the board. There definitely is a trend over the last, what I've seen 3 to 5 years of more and more centers of excellence and competencies being built up inside of companies. They tend to be the larger entities, right, that have very complex supply chains. They have multiple locations, they have multiple products, they have a global presence. Those are the guys more often than not that are pushing to create those competencies. But you do get the smaller kind of firms that are starting out with the one or two people that are focused on design. I think it comes down to evaluating what are the type of supply chain design questions you're really going after, right? If you're just going to do the strategic infrastructure only, then a lot of companies are focused on partnering with Ryder, LLamasoft, or other consulting companies to do kind of one-off studies. And there's still a need in the market to do that, and I don't ever see that going away, right? As you start realizing that there's opportunities to take advantage of doing supply chain design on a more frequent and regular basis, that the need to have the business get more engaged, right, becomes prevalent, right? That the less external entities can get involved. And so as you move down that spectrum of more frequent analytics, right, as you move away from strategic into tactical and operational, companies are doing it more on their own. Now, there still are those opportunities to partner with companies. If you think about the spectrum of what you need, there's kind of the analytical modeler, right, that's kind of using the technology itself. In a lot of instances, some companies that are building large centers of excellence are still outsourcing the modeling competency, right? But they're not outsourcing the entire supply chain design business process. right? So they still have the people that are the subject matter experts in design, the subject matter experts in the business, but they may outsource the modeling competency. So I think you get a hybrid that's going on there. And companies like Ryder, and others in the space have found niches and opportunities to do more and more to support their customers to do end-to-end and to not just do the projects only. So I think you have opportunities, depending on your specific needs, to look at a variety of different solutions. Mm-hmm. You don't have to build it all 100%. You don't have to outsource it all 100%. It sort of just depends on your specific needs.
Yeah, Gary, your thoughts on that. I mean, are you seeing kind of growing demand? I mean, you talked about a little bit about kind of offering that as one of the services that you have. I mean, are you seeing growing demand for supply chain design services from clients and prospects? Mm-hmm. And, you know, does that vary by industry, by company size? What are you seeing at your end?
Yeah, we are. I mean, we're seeing the acknowledgement that supply chain design is a discipline, but we are seeing an uptick in demand around supply chain design. And just to add to Jeff's point, you know, our approach and our recommendation typically is that the customers still need to have those competencies in-house. Whether you still outsource certain functions, you need to still have that competency and understand, you know, how the processes work and all the policies behind that. But yeah, so we've seen an increase. I mean, for us, I mean, we're in the outsourcing industry. What I would say is we are embedding supply chain design around our operational services. So to us, supply chain design is just part of what you would get as part of that service. And I think what's changed is that, you know, 20 years ago when the third-party logistics industry really started, you know, the value prop was a little different, right? And it does differ based on industry, but back then it was around procurement and just basic execution around getting your stuff shipped from point A to point B. But that value proposition has deteriorated. I mean, the customers get a little bit more savvy. Their supply chains get a little bit more mature. The value proposition for what we do shifts, and it shifts more towards complex solutions, right? Logistics is the tail end of supply chain, right? So it does start upstream around order management, inventory policies, service levels of your customer, you know, supply side of demand. And so what's happening now is we're shifting more upstream into trying to tackle more complex problems around order management, as an example. But again, our customers expect that as part of our service. And, you know, if we want to sustain a customer relationship beyond a few years, and most of our customer tenure is, you know, decades, 10 years plus. So we don't have thousands of customers within our supply chain division. We have hundreds, and we focus on a few select industries. And in those industries, their supply chains are at different levels of maturity, right? I mean, we talked a little bit about our automotive clients, right? Some of our automotive clients and our retail clients, frankly, are a little bit more advanced in their supply chain competencies than maybe oil and gas or, you know, utilities, which is on the other spectrum where you can't really even get, you know, demand profiles in an order to plan transportation against. So you have to create, you know, your own order to build a load, as an example, in oil and gas. So it's pretty hard to, you know, apply advanced modeling techniques to like an oil and gas segment. However, what we've been able to do is take learnings from different industries and apply those to those industries that may not be as mature. I'll give you an example. So oil and gas for us is a growing industry sector. We are organized by vertical. So we have, you know, automotive, CPG, retail, healthcare, as well as oil and gas. And that's a growing sector. So we've been able to take some of our planning concepts around logistics, releasing, and materials planning from automotive. And we're now building that into our oil and gas customer supply chain that starts upstream of when they basically open up a well and launch a well for production. So we work with them around what we call plan for every well. So we've taken a automotive kind of materials releasing, logistics releasing concept and have applied it to an industry that, frankly, is a little bit less mature in their supply chain. So it does vary by industry. But, you know, from our perspective and point of view, supply chain design is part of our service. And it's something you get when you work with us. And we need to stay up on the latest and greatest technologies and competencies and tools. And really, that's kind of our unique value prop is if we can do that and bring those capabilities and learnings from other industries to different industries, you know, that's going to be, you know, what our customers are looking for in the way of value. And I'd say the last thing on that, too, is we also look at it, not only is it by industry, we look at supply chains by products and also by networks. And so, you know, it's shifting from individual, you know, dedicated customers to looking at multiple customers across networks, right? And so, you know, that's part of, we're just trying to find that final, you know, end of value around, you know, reducing logistics costs. And so, you know, so much of it will only be driven out of transportation costs, right, which are going up right now. So we're using these supply chain design techniques to kind of go further into the supply chain and address the complexities for our customers.
You know, and I think that last
one, a great example there.
I was just going to say that last one that Gary mentioned is where I start getting really excited, because I think we've been waiting for a long time for supply chain design to actually move out of looking inside of your own company and trying to understand what those interrelationships are with your partners, right? And to try to get into more collaborative supply chain design opportunities. So if I'm a CPG company and I'm trying to work with my retailer, right, or I'm a large, you know, electronics manufacturer and I'm trying to work with my supplier. Like, these supply chain design decisions at the end of the day are not in isolation of just looking inside of the four walls of what I control. And so as we look to drive more and more synergies, I've been encouraged over the last couple of years of seeing some of these initiatives. Primarily, I've seen them in the United States around CPG companies that are partnering together to try to understand how can they get leverage economies between them working together to interact with a retailer. Right, or a retailer saying, okay, let's get together and understand our combined supply chains, what makes the most sense. Like, not that I'm just going to be the captain and tell you everything that I'm going to go do, but are there synergies that can actually be brought out? And so as we start elevating these conversations beyond, I mean, this is really going down the maturity path, but as we start getting these environments available to start saying, let's do supply chain design across the supply chain, not just across my own company supply chain, but across the end-to-end supply chain, there's a lot of economies and efficiencies that I believe we're going to unlock. And I think we're getting ready to see more and more of that activity happening, whether it's through a third party like Ryder, right, or whether, you know, enabled by the technology that LlamaSoft is doing, you know, or other entities are going to spin themselves up. But that's really going to be, if I think about the next wave of what's going to happen, if there's still a lot of opportunity to expand maturity inside of a company. But if you start thinking about how companies can interact with each other from a design perspective, I think that's the next big play that's out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, certainly collaboration is one of those terms that, you know, has been around probably longer than all of us. And for good reason, because I think conceptually, I think every company understands that if it's done right, if you truly collaborate with your partners, you can create and achieve, you know, greater benefits. You know, the stumbling blocks have always been, you know, the devil's always in the details, and, right. And that's where a lot of companies get stuck. But you're right. I think, you know, from a design, supply chain design standpoint, that truly is the next step. And I personally am biased towards the 3PL model, because I think having a 3PL help as a neutral third party, if you will, helping to orchestrate that. And helping to bring the not only the technology that they may have through partners like yours, but also the talent and again helping to bring all the parties together you know, truly execute on these collaborative opportunities. So I think that Sure. is an exciting you know thing to look out for moving forward. You know, looking at the time here, we're kind of running out of time. So I'm just going to go right to my last question. And Gary, you know, I'll start with you, and then Jeff, you can. Add your perspective as well. I mean, you know, what advice would you give to, you know, companies that are looking to improve their supply chain, mm-hmm. you know, design capabilities? You know, what questions should they ask themselves, you know, to assess whether their capabilities are best in class or whether they, you know, have room for improvement?
Yeah, and this is a question we get all the time. I mean, part of our business, you know, we need to help our customers assess that just to be able to do business with them, right? And so, I mean, typically the first thing that we would recommend and talk to our customers about is kind of assessing and prioritizing what problem you're trying to solve for. Jeff kind of touched on it earlier, but it does go through, you know, a function of focusing on what you know, end of the supply chain, what segment, where are you going to drive value, what are your biggest problems and issues and challenges. So that's really the first thing. The second thing is understanding how supply chain design can enable your overall business strategy. So again, it depends if, you know, when you grow, if you want to grow in different segments, different channels, different customers, because all of that will affect your supply chain. And part of that gets down to, you know, what service levels do you want? You know, what do you need in the way of inventory deployment strategy? So a lot of it is understanding your business strategy and then how supply chain design can enable the success of that strategy. And a third one, and this is the one that usually our customers have the biggest challenge around, is internally focused around their organization, is to understand how their structure, whether it's multiple business units, whether it's centralized control, decentralized control, whether it's assessing the talent of the organization, the capabilities. So it's looking inward to truly not only understand what functions are core or not to outsource, it's understanding your organizational competencies and what change is required internally, because that's usually the biggest roadblock is, you know, acceptance across business units. And if you're trying to, you know, leverage their network, if they have independent supply chains and they're not put together today, usually the thing that really hangs up our customers on truly leveraging supply chain design is the organizational complexity. So that's the third. And then the last piece is kind of what we just touched on. And it does come down to collaboration, right? Whether, you know, you're leveraging current partners, future partners. You know, the supply chain is a makeup of all partners, right? And whether it's outsourced partners through 3PL or your transportation partners or your suppliers where you source material, and frankly, your customers, is trying to collaborate a little bit better. Because the only way you're going to be able to get full value out of a design capabilities and competency is to bring all of those parties together to understand the trade-offs, right? The trade-offs between service level for your customers and how that cascades to manufacturing strategies and then all the way back to supply sourcing decisions. And so what's really exciting is not only are we seeing supply chain design, you know, the ramp up and the pickup and the understanding of it, but we are seeing customers kind of understand, hey, we have to collaborate. And whether that's internally, externally, Jeff mentioned it, you know, Adrian, you mentioned it as well. We are seeing that. Our customers get it. They're not nearly as worried about competition in the context of how do we leverage our supply chain. They may be worried about competition around the value or how unique their product is, but when it's coming to supply chain, you know, it's time to collaborate, and you really have to really minimize costs. So that's what we're seeing today.
Great. Jeff, anything to add to that?
Yeah, just a couple of things. I mean, Gary's spot on understanding that business problem right up front. You know, I would share the advice for companies that really haven't done too much of this and are kind of at the beginning of their supply chain, you know, design processes. Don't be concerned with getting everything right up front. Don't try to do the whole, you know, boil the ocean. There's a lot of different things you can do. I would just say get started. I mean, pick something that is a need, whether it's an impending event that's happened to you, whether it's a performance issue that you're happening. I mean, carve out some starting point, right, that you could focus on. And then figure out, you know, given that that's the problem that you want to go address or the challenge that you have, who are the right people to bring to the table? Is it internal? Is it consultants? Is it 3PLs? Is it the, you know, the technology community? But figure out the problem you want to solve first and pick something that's kind of small in scope and get some kind of success associated with it. The second one that I would give in general, no matter where you are on this journey, but definitely to get more and more mature in supply chain design, is you got to make this real to implement, right? It doesn't provide any value to do assessments and to do studies and to recommend changes to the physical network or to policies and then make that a study-based environment that never gets implemented. And so, you know, what we advise customers that are thinking about this is we're going to almost always show you, and Gary will probably confirm, he's always going to show you probably a better way. He's going to show you something that's reducing cost, or he's going to show you something that's improving service. And then the question is, well, now what do I do with that? And I've just seen too many times throughout my career that companies get stagnant on executing. right? And so you want to think ahead of time. These analytics, more times than not, are going to show you a path and help guide you in making decisions to improve your physical supply chain. But I got to be ready to execute and implement them. And so I want to think ahead of time, who's going to be that organization inside my company? Who's going to be those champions to do these things, whether they're simple changes or transformational? If I don't understand this, this just becomes a project study-oriented world again. And so to make this an ongoing continuous process, you got to think about the implementation of the results. And I would just suggest you think about those right away as you're getting going on the process.
Yeah, great advice from both of you. And, you know, Jeff, you've got your SummerCon conference coming up in June, and I know a number of your customers will be presenting there. So certainly that's another opportunity to gain some insights and advice from other companies that are on the forefront of this, you know, later on in June at the SummerCon conference. So those of you that are watching and listening and are interested in perhaps getting some the opportunity to network and engage in peer-to-peer learning around supply chain design, certainly SummerCon is a good event to go to, and I certainly look forward to attending and engaging with folks there. You know, like I always say, you know, we always manage to scratch the surface on these topics in the time that we have, but I think we did a great job really laying out you know, the case as to why supply chain design really needs to move from a, you know, ad hoc project based kind of perspective to a continuous business process. So Gary and Jeff, thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks, appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation.
And thank you to all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you do have a question for Gary or Jeff, and you are watching this episode on demand, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post your question or a comment there, and I'm sure Jeff and Gary will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So with that, again, thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.